returning to us in our situation. Today, the solution for, quote, the black man, end quote, is a solution for his troubled soul. We're not to go to politics anymore for a solution. The solution is that not there. Carroll Mosley Brown was sent to Washington, D.C. without any fuss or problem, except from her contender, and he lost, and now he's quiet. Roland Barris is our state attorney general. I'm talking for just here in Chicago. So what do we look like saying we are politically oppressed? So what is the oppression now? I'll tell you what it is. It's the same oppression that's on all Americans. And America will always have problems. America will always have problems, and people will always have problems. But I repeat, the solution for the black man is no longer political solution. The solution for the black man is a solution for his soul, S-O-U-L, soul. In the Quran, the book of all Muslims, it was even the book for the Honorable Elijah Muhammad. It was the book for his teacher, Wallace Farrar. Now, maybe you don't know him by that name. W.D. Farrar. Maybe you don't know him by that name. W.F. Muhammad. Maybe you don't know him by that name. Well, you're talking about the same person, I hope. Are we thinking of the same person, I hope? The one who gave me my name before I was born. My name is Wallace D. Muhammad. And he would send cards to my father and mother, and he would sign it just Wallace D. Why? Because he didn't want the people who handled the mail department to see a Muslim name on it. He would just sign it, Wallace D. I've seen the cards with my own eyes. In fact, I have one. My daughter, I gave one to my daughter to keep as a keepsake. I won't tell you which one. You go right to her and start bowing it. Not only that, I have a picture of him, facial picture, front profile of Farrar. Not just that side one that everybody has, when he's turned to the side, when he's just, you know, giving you a side glimpse. I have the full picture. So he's much less a mystery to me than he is to most. In the Quran, the soul is the seed and the throne of both spirituality and intellect. Hence, a people make a handicap of themselves by their favoring invitations that invite them to look attractive, but do not favor them being attracted to that which is intelligent. Our brother African American soldier. Because we were soldiers, weren't we, in the Nation of Islam? And we talk about militancy, we're talking about soldiers in the freedom struggle. So to our brother African-American brother soldiers, I want to say what we have as a champion and as a victor with victories in common is our dynamic soul, its spirit, and its intelligence. That is the champion that we have in common. Now, if I point to an individual person, you may not say that's your hero. And if you point to an individual person, I and those with me, we might not say that's our hero. But we can point to that spirit, that energy that have been moving forward and insisting that we go forward. We can point to that and we can say that is our hero. The spirit of our people that rose upon our original life that God created, rose out of that life, rose up out of that life. The spirit that went forward for the good of that life, that is our life, our real life. That is our hero. And that is an awareness that we need so that we can have a sense of unity again. That spirit kept getting brighter while we were opening our soul to its appetite for what is intelligent. Now, I would like to stop here and let you in on something that many of these know about us, but maybe some of you don't, who weren't in the inner circle. W. Dean Muhammad, Malcolm X, later came to be called Malcolm Shabazz. We loved the Honorable Elijah Muhammad. We loved the Nation of Islam. We loved our brothers and sisters in the Nation of Islam. We loved the aspirations of the Nation of Islam. We loved the achievements of the Nation of Islam. We love the manners and the discipline of the Nation of Islam. We love the morals and the decency and the disciplines that were hard sometime on us that caused us to be thrown out of the Nation of Islam for violating something that you would just ignore. We love that. We weren't boys. We were men. We weren't average men. We were extraordinary men when it came to wanting to assert our manhood. Not only that, we loved the food of the Nation of Islam. We loved our bean soup. We loved our fried rice or brown rice more than we loved the Chinese. We loved our carrot pies, our cheese pies, 100% cheese pie, delicious. We loved our bean pies. We loved them so much until we had to tell all the African-American people about our bean pies. We didn't want to break with that. We didn't want to separate from that. Twice or three times I was separated. The first time because it was told that I was saying things about the concept of God that was not approved in the Nation of Islam, because we were told that Farad was Allah in the person. The man who taught my father, we were told that he was Allah in the person. So I was rejected after it was forced on my father. I said forced on my father because my father knew that my mind was developing differently. He never bothered me until somebody made a charge against me, and he was a lawgiver and a law executor. And I'm telling you one thing that he was more serious about than you were serious about getting AIDS. And that is having his position weakened or having the Nation of Islam weakened. If anybody threatened that, wife, mama, son, anybody, bought daughter, you were in trouble. So the Honorable Elijah Muhammad, I'll tell you, this will give you an idea of what situation he was in when he put me out. He said, well, you know, son, you know what I have to do. I said, yes, Daddy. And he did it. And I stopped eating good. Stopped sleeping good. But I didn't stop being happy. Because I wasn't thinking about those things. I was thinking about being right. And look here, you who love what we were all about, I know this, I know some of you all have the same history of obedience that I have. But I want you to know, I never start smoking, never drank. I've been told recently that someone said I drank, saw me drunk. Recently. Well, he must have been drunk and hallucinating. Never eat pork. Never became profane, cursing, carrying on. Never got vulgar. Never lost my good standing, my good character that my mother and father, my mother bred in me and my father encouraged. Never. Alhamdulillah, you're right. Praise be to God. Yes. And I have to recall what the prophet said, our prophet, the prophet of all Muslims on his earth. He said, those who were of good character in the days of ignorance, that is before he became the prophet, are of good character now. He was speaking of, they were still with him, they were still there. And those who are of bad character then are of bad character now. So never will the condition of a people change for them until they accept to change what is bothering their souls. So you don't have to come one path or another, by one way to God. You can come by any way to God as long as you have that fear in you, that taqwa in you, that consciousness in you, to at least acknowledge that you are not your own boss, that you have to answer to some authority one day, whether in this life or the next. As long as you have that in you, then you're going to try to be of good character. Like to repeat that in the Quran, the soul is the seed and the throne of both spirituality and intellect. Hence, a people make a handicap of themselves by their favoring invitations that invite them to look attractive, out of show, but do not favor them being attracted to that which is intelligent. It wasn't a moral urge so much. At least I wasn't seeing a moral urge that caused me to differ with the theology of the Nation of Islam. What is put out now is the theology of time, and time, you know, is infinity, and that's just where they'll be trying to figure out that theology. couldn't see a moral urge moving me to differ with that theology. Now, Honorable Elijah Muhammad conditioned me to differ with that theology. Say, why? This is ridiculous. That man saying that his own father conditioned him to undo what his father was so diligently trying to do. But that's the fact. The Honorable Elijah Muhammad conditioned me to question that theology. You who have been in for a long time, you know what Honorable Elijah Muhammad told us? Say, brother, sister, don't just look at the surface. Look under the surface. He said, study it. There are answers that Allah wants us to get. That's what he said. Study it. But he told me to study and to look under the surface. So if the surface doesn't look good to me, it didn't bother me. I just tried to look under it. And when I got up under it, I discovered all kind of strange creatures. And it helped me deal with the surface. And again, I say, the Honorable Elijah Muhammad, my father, conditioned me to be that way, to have those curiosities. Malcolm also came under the influence of the Honorable Elijah Muhammad's teaching. He was close, so close to the Honorable Elijah Muhammad that the Honorable Elijah Muhammad would call him son, my son, just like he called myself, my brother, my son. My mother would call him my son. Say son, she'd call him son. Not only him now, a few other ministers that she would call son. When you showed that you were 100% faithful to the Honorable Elijah Muhammad and to our cause as a people, nation of Islam, when my mother saw that, you became close to her just like a sister, a son, a daughter, depending on your age. So I say the same thing for Malcolm. Malcolm X, Al-Hajj Malik al-Shabazz, I say the same thing for him. I say that he also wasn't moved by any awareness of any moral problem, but by a natural need and a natural urge that was supported by the Honorable Elijah Muhammad's treatment of our curiosities. To follow his intelligence. I think I'm speaking for most of you who have come and have experienced a transition from what was then to what is now and what is real and true. I think I speak for most of you. We didn't dislike the Honorable Elijah Muhammad. We had no jealousy, no bitterness, no. We loved him. Right. And the reason why it took me so long to break completely with that idea is because I was trying hard to make that idea agree with what's in the Quran. Yes, and trying hard to make the Quran support that idea. Right. Yes, some still wrestling with that. I thank God that my father's and mother's influence in me made me more interested in being right than holding on to something that's proven to be wrong. That spirit that I've pointed to that we all have in common, the spirit of our excellence is potential, moving us forward, moving us to try to separate ourselves from the things that are holding us back, those things that are wrong for us, moving us to prove and establish and defend those things that we felt God intended to be in us and those aspirations that God sanctioned according to the stirrings in our own souls. That spirit kept getting brighter and brighter while we were opening our soul to its appetite for what is intelligent. It has been dimming because black consciousness has slipped and fell from itself, from its inherent aim, while experiencing a very disturbing, perplexing time we call the 60s, the 1960s. I put black in quote, black fell from its excellence-based spirituality. Our spirituality, our motivation, our aspiration were based in our God-given excellence, human excellence. We fell from that to something I'm calling blackism in this particular address. Blackism. Now, the Honorable Elijah Muhammad put us on the path of blackism. But he conditioned us to stay on the path of Islam when all attempts to establish blackism failed.
Yes, that's right. That's
blackism is also blind desperation in the spirit. Blackism is that contender for the heavyweight crown. Untrained for rules of decency. Too hyped up to experience, that is now, not then, but now. It is too hyped up to experience reflection, soul searching, and too desperate to address moral demands on us. Hence, the internal war we are suffering, self-destruction we are suffering, violence we are suffering at our own hands, crimes we are suffering in our own black community, suicide we are suffering, and social regression that is manifest now in our community. When I say social regression, I mean we once cared about mama more than we care about mama now. We once cared about daddy and grandfather and grandmother more than we care about them now. We once cared about wife and children and sisters and brothers and cousins and nephews and uncles and nieces and aunts. We once cared about those people more than we care about them now. We once cared about the African-American neighbor more than we care about that African-American neighbor now. We once cared about our brother a distance away more than we care about them now. So we have suffered a great and alarming degree of social regression, not progress. Blackism is now punch drunk. Because it advocates, its advocates, I'm not naming any of them. I love every one of them. Just like the prophet Jesus Christ is in the gospel, peace be on the prophet, love to all sinners. Now, I haven't reached that stage yet. And tell you the truth, I ain't trying to get to that stage. Blackism is now punch drunk because its advocates came in on some great counterpunching by the Nation of Islam leaders in the fight with the white world or the devil world. Those that came in and looked on in on the battle They were electrified. And they rushed out to do it their way. But they waited until the army Elijah Muhammad had passed. They waited till Malcolm had passed. And then they went out to do it their way. And now they have gotten caught up in a fixation to just counterpunch the white man. And they've been in that fixation so long, they're seeing punches that the white man ain't even throwing. Punch drunk. Yeah, a punch drunk person will go out and throw punches in the air and think he's in the ring. You know, he think. He think the bell rung. He think it fight is on. And he sees an opponent and he think he's countering a blow. Dear people, counterpunching the heavyweights in the resistance facing us in America is making us punch drunk and weaker. Weaker in spirit, weaker in truth, and weaker in the ability to benefit from practical common sense. Now, I've just given us a prescription. A prescription not just for black Muslims or African-American Muslims, not just for those who associate in the community or in the membership of Imam Wahdatuddin Muhammad's associates. No. No matter what leader or what mosque or what madhhab or school of Islamic thought you identify with or come under, if you are African-American, I've just given you a prescription. You don't even have to be Muslim if you're Christian. If you're African-American, I've just given you a prescription. Now, if you take it and go out there and use it, as I just described to you, I've given you also how to take that medicine. You just review everything that I've said. I've also indicated how that medicine is to be taken. If you do it, you're going to be healed. Yes, and we are going to begin to enjoy a better sense of well-being as a people. Aren't we tired of going around here in the gloom, complaining, downhearted? Being given all the statistics on our failures, right, but no statistics on our successes. Being told every ailment that we've gotten since we came on the shores of America, but not being told of all the good things that have happened in our health since we've been in America. You know, that'll make a man sick. You want to get sick quick? Just ask, you can be healthy. Somebody tell you, yeah, you know what happened yesterday? Say, no. Say, well, you know, your own son said something about your character. And they just keep on bringing you negative stuff like that. After a while, you start to feel weak and sick. And something in your nature will tell you right away, I don't want to hear no more of that stuff. Hey, look, man, I'm just going to live my life. If that's the way they want to feel about me, then that's the way they want to feel. But, man, please don't take up my time telling me what they're thinking or saying about me. I don't want to hear any more of that. We know in our nature to pull away from a lot of negativity, because negativity will make you sick, weak, take away your ability. But we let these advocates of blackism just do nothing but talk to us about negative things. How much bad has happened to us in our history in America, how much we've been held back, how much has been done wrong to us by whites.
Yeah. Go ahead.
Give us the statistics. Yeah. How many was killed 50 years ago, 100 years ago, 200 years ago? Give us the statistics, you know, and just ask us to just keep coming back for more. We used to have one main meet. They're meeting now every day, some of them. And just doing nothing but just pouring that stuff into the ears and into the soul, the sensitivities of the people who will listen to it. No wonder we can't sense or see opportunity is here in America for us now and take advantage of it, as Roland Barris, Ted Kimbrough, and Carolyn Moses Brown, and the many who are doing the same in business, and the many who are doing the same in the other professions. We can't take advantage of the opportunity because these prophets of blackism, they too busy killing our initiative. We're not going to excuse that problem. We're not going to pretend that problem doesn't exist in the name of some kind of unity of all of us. Should we keep quiet while we're seeing something destroying our unity? Seeing something setting us back 100 years? Just because there's an African-American or a black man advocating that? No! I had to differ with my own father because something in me bigger than me, bigger than my father, was urging me to do that. The good health, the good well-being, the good future of our people, the health and well-being and future of our children, now and to come, that's bigger than us just showing an artificial unity based in some kind of blackism that's sick.